This morning, basically, I want to share a message with you. 6 months ago, I got a call from Cornerstone Christian School, school right beside us. And every year for the past 3 or 4 years, I've gone over to Cornerstone at least once a year, and I share in the chapel there at Cornerstone with the kids. And every year they have a theme that they tell me. They say, this is the theme, and they'll either assign me something to speak on. Last year it was on the gifts of the Spirit, and I spoke on faithfulness. Well, this year their theme was the Bible. And so they wanted people to take parts of the Bible and speak on a certain part of the Bible. So they said, Pastor, we'd like you to speak on the law. We want you to speak on the first 5 books of the Bible, and you've got 15 to 20 minutes. Now I'm thinking, you know, usually about a verse, I take about 45 to 50 minutes, or a couple verses, 5 books. And we want you to take 15 to 20 minutes. Well, I said, well, God can do anything. Okay, I'll do it. And I started to think and pray. And one morning, God woke me up and put a message on my heart. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. Jesus and the law. But to do that, over at Cornerstone and here this morning, I needed help. So I have some helpers that are going to help me this morning. Would the helpers come out? And these are very important people. Somebody, here's one of the helpers. Somebody open that door. Bob, open that. There he is. Okay. I thought my helper got lost. I want to introduce to you this morning two very important people from the Bible. First of all, here's Moses. You understand, that's Moses. And this is the most important person in the Bible, Jesus Christ. And they're going to help me this morning to present Jesus and the law. And we're going to start out, and first of all, God gave his law. The first 5 books of the Bible are called by the Hebrews or by the Jews, the Torah, the law. It's called the law of Moses or the law. That's called the law of Moses because God used this man right here, kids. By the way, our kids are up with us. That's why I decided to do that this morning. He used Moses to write down the first 5 books of the Bible. By the way, what are the first 5 books of the Bible? Let's say them. Kids, you teach the adults here today. Let's say the first 5 books. Ready? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I'll tell you what. That's good. That's good. Now, for all you adults that didn't know that, good job, kids. Okay, we got first 5 books. There they are. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And God gave his law. He gave his instructions, his rules for living. And every one of these books has to do with the law in some way. There's a way that they tie into the law. And we want to take a look at that. First of all, we're going to take a look at Genesis. And Genesis, if we can get it up here, shows the need for the law. The need for the law. In Genesis chapter 3, you remember God created the first man and the woman. What were their names? Adam and Eve. Okay? Adam and Eve. Put them in a garden and told them, bless them. Said you can eat of any tree of the garden except that tree that was in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, we're getting good teaching over here. I have to come over this side and kids. Okay, good and evil. Don't eat of that tree. The day you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And we all know the story, don't we? the first man and woman, ate of the tree. They disobeyed God. And there were consequences for that. And the consequence, the big consequence, they began to die physically, but they died spiritually. They were separated from God. And they became sinners. And everyone born after that was born in sin. And because there was a separation from God, people didn't even know what was right and wrong. They didn't even know that there was right, what was right and wrong was. So God, there was a need for the law, need for God to put it down in black and white. Well, actually in stone. And he wrote down, here's what's right, here's what's wrong. And God did that because man had a need. Man didn't even know. You imagine that? They thought, oh, they might even thought, there's no absolutes. There's no real right and wrong. But God said, oh, yes, there is. And there was a need because man sinned. You know, it's interesting. Genesis begins in a garden and it ends in a coffin. You remember? Look at Genesis. Begins in a beautiful garden. But because of sin, it ends in a coffin. And that's the reason we had a need for the law, was because man sinned. Then we have Exodus. Exodus shows us the giving of the law. In the book of Exodus, God gave the law. Who did he give it to?
He gave it to Moses, but he gave it to the people.
Okay, gave it to the people. He gave it to Moses, literally, through Moses, but he gave it to the people. Now I'm going to test. Where in Exodus? Does anybody know the chapter in Exodus where he lists the law? Chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Now don't go there. I want to check out. Do you know what? I used to go down to the Cuyahoga Falls Mall and I would ask people, do you know the Ten Commandments? And do you know the majority of people did not know the commandments? They might be able to name one or two, but they did not know the commandments of God. So, what's commandment number one? Don't murmur. No. Have no other gods before me. Right? Commandment number two. No idols. No idols. Don't make any image or idol or bow down to any image or idol. Number three. Don't use the name of God in vain. That means you should reverence God's name. We don't use it in jokes. Oh, well, Pastor, I didn't mean anything by that. That's what means in vain. We don't talk with God's name. We reverence his name. We respect the name of God, which represents his character. Number four is what?
Keep the Sabbath day holy.
Because God made the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, giving us a pattern for us that we should work for 6 days, but we should take a day and rest and focus on the Lord. And that's the Sabbath day principle. Now, children. Teenagers. No, not children. Teenagers. What's the fifth commandment? I didn't hear that. What? Come on. Honor thy father and mother. It's repeated over in Ephesians 6:1. Obey your parents in the Lord. You know why? It's right.
But why?
That it may go well with you, and that you may live long on the earth, Moses. Fifth commandment. Sixth commandment, thou shalt not
murder.
Seventh, thou shalt not commit adultery. Eighth, do not steal. Ninth, don't lie. Tenth,
don't covet.
And you know, Moses went up on the mount, and you know what? God wrote these with his own finger in the tablets of stone. God, in Exodus, we have the giving of the law. And now in Leviticus, third book, we have the limitations of the law. The limitations. And there are three limitations in the law. Listen. The law is holy, righteous, and good.
Yes.
Nothing wrong with this. But it does have limitations. There's things the law can't do. Is that true, Moses?
That's right. Absolutely.
There's three things. Number one, the law cannot reconnect us with God. The law can't bring us to God. The law can't do that. That's why God put in a sacrificial system. He said it was only going to be through the shedding of blood that we could be reconnected again. Law can't do that. Second thing the law can't do, the law can't cleanse you from sin. It can't give you the power even to be the kind of person you know you should be. It doesn't give you the power. It doesn't cleanse you from sin. The law is like a mirror. The law is like a mirror. You know, when you look into a mirror, ooh. Ooh. Man, when you look into a mirror, the mirror just shows you who you are. If I had a big smudge on my face, I could see that smudge when I look into a mirror. But you know what? This mirror can't cleanse that smudge. The law of God is a mirror to show us who we are, but it can't clean us up. It tells you what's right and what's wrong, but it can't impart power to you to do the right. That's a limitation of the law. And another thing the law cannot do, it can't save you. Is that right, Moses?
That's right. The law cannot save. It only brings a curse and death.
The law cannot save. It can't give anybody eternal life. Anybody. Three things the law can't do. Can't reconnect us to God. Can't cleanse us from sin or give us power to live right. And it cannot save anybody. The limitations of law. Leviticus. Numbers shows us the breaking of the law. It records what happened in the wilderness with the children of God. Before Moses got down from the mountaintop, the people of God had broken all 10 commandments. That's true. They broke all the commandments before you got down, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Don't get that yet. No, wait. Broke all the commandments. And listen, you know what happens when you break the commandments? Listen, kids. Listen, teenagers. Listen, adults. When you break God's law, there are consequences. You want to live in a spiritual wilderness for a long time, just break God's law. Just go against God's ways. Be disobedient. And there are always consequences for going against God's principles. There's a verse, and you want to put this down. You memorize this verse. Easy to remember where it is in Numbers. Numbers 32, and then turn that around, 23. You know what that verse says? Be sure your sins will find you out. You can't sin and get away with it. We can't sin and get away with it. That was the first lie of the devil. The devil said, you know what? God say you're going to die. You will not surely die. You can sin and there's no consequences. Listen to me. You can't sin and get away with it. There are consequences of sin. All that generation died in the wilderness. They wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And I'll tell you what, Numbers shows us the breaking of the law and what happens when you break the law. I'll tell you what, there's consequences. Now, Deuteronomy is the reminder of the law. In fact, this word Deuteronomy, it means two or the second law or the second giving of the law. Because the people of God are right ready to go into the promised land. And God says, you know what? Before you go in, let me remind you of my law. And if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 5, you know what you find? The law is restated. Just like it was in Exodus chapter 20. The law is restated. And then here's what it says in Deuteronomy 6. You might even want to look there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You have your Bible. Look there. You know what it says? In fact, Deuteronomy 6 verse 4 is a great verse. And it's a verse that's read in every synagogue, in every synagogue service. It's called the Shema. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then he talks. He goes on to talk to the parents. And I think this applies to parents and grandparents. He says, here's what you need to do. Love God with all your heart. Love him. Love God. That's the most important thing we can do. First commandment, right? That's the greatest commandment. Love God. And have this law. You know where? Not in your head, in your heart. And when you love God, parents, and you have that law in your heart, I think of Psalm 48, where the psalmist says, I delight to do thy will, O my God, thy law is within my heart. When those two things are true, you're ready to teach. And he goes on to say, teach these things to your children diligently. Wherever you are, when they rise up, when they sit down, when you walk in the way, take the time to transfer these things to your kids. Teach them what's right and what's wrong. And there are absolutes. God's principles are true. They were true back then. They're true today. You got to give them to your kids. Write them on the lintel of your home. Write them on the doorposts. We got to give these to our kids. Why? You know why? Because these things were given. Listen. Listen, teenagers, listen to me. For our good. God did not give these laws to us because he doesn't want us to have fun. Because he's a cosmic killjoy and he just wants us to be sad and miserable. That's what Satan says. And teenagers, Satan will come to you and say, you're missing out on the world. Boy, look at what the world has for you. Those things of God, that's you're going to have a miserable life if you follow God. That's Satan. Because God gave us this law for our good, for our well-being. And when we live according to God's principles, I'll tell you what, you'll have a wonderful life. Yeah. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to him. God gave us these things for our good. Parents, do everything you can to teach your kids. Grandparents, you got to transfer these things, live these out, and give them to the kids. That's why we have CEF, Child Evangelism Fellowship. Reach the kids with these things. It's so important. So he reminds, and we've got to continually remind our kids and remind each other of the principles of God. In fact, there's something in the back. I'm glad you didn't look right back there on that back wall, because you could have cheated, because we have the Ten Commandments back there. Moses, how about that?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise. You could say it a lot louder than that. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, thank you. I'll tell you what. Here we have the law. Everyone, Genesis, we have the need for the law. Exodus, we have the giving of the law. Leviticus, the limitations of the law. In Numbers, the breaking of the law. And finally, in Deuteronomy, we have the reminder of the law. But somebody might say, well, but Pastor, yeah, we see that sin, man sinned in Genesis, and the law was given, but if the law has such limitations, if it can't connect us to God, then it can't cleanse us, and it can't save us, I mean, why did he even give the law? Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and we want to look here at verse 24. Galatians 3:24. It tells us why the law was given. Why the law? Why did he give the law? If it can't save us, why did he give it? And Galatians 3:24 says, therefore, the law has become our tutor, or I think someone says schoolmaster, to lead us to Christ so that we might be justified by faith. Moses, why did you write that? Why did God give this law?
So that it would point to the Lord Jesus Christ.
To point to Jesus. I mean, can it save us?
No, no, no.
Okay.
Jesus.
It's pointing to, boy. Pointing to Jesus. It's pointing to Jesus, you see. Because, folks, the law can't save. Only Jesus can save. It points, it shows us, listen, it is a mirror to show us our heart, to show us that we are sinners and we're lost. But it can't save us. But it points us to who can save us. And I want to show you this because, folks, Jesus said, you study these things because you read the scripture because you think in them you have eternal life. It's these that are written of me. And Jesus is in the law.
Yes.
He is. Jesus in the law. In Genesis, we have the promise of Jesus. Man sinned, folks. And I'll tell you, as soon as he sinned, God comes forth with a solution. In Genesis 3:15, he says to the serpent, I will put enmity between your seed and the seed of the woman. And he will bruise you on the head, and you will bruise him on the heel. And that is the first mention of the gospel in Scripture. Proto-evangelium, they call it. It's showing that God was going to send somebody, the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, and he was going to bruise Satan on the head, death blow to Satan. He was going to be God's solution to our problem of sin. That's promise. I'll tell you, they didn't just sin, and God said, you know what? I got a solution for that. I'm going to send the seed of the woman. And then over in Genesis 22, do you remember? When God said to Abraham, he said, Abraham, Abraham, take thy son, thy only son, the son whom thou lovest, and get up and go to the land of Moriah and sacrifice him there on a mount. And so Abraham arose early in the morning, took his son and a couple servants, went to the land of Moriah. Said to his servants, you wait here while the boy and I go yonder in worship and we will return to you. And so Abraham and Isaac are going up on the mount and Isaac is carrying the wood for the burnt offering. And he says, Father, I see the wood for the burnt offering. I see the fire for the burnt offering. But Father, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And Abraham, his father, said, God will supply himself a lamb. And you know what that is? That's a prophecy. That's a promise. God will supply himself. And 2,000 years later, God supplied himself a lamb. That's the promise of Jesus. That's in the book of Genesis. In the book of Exodus, we have the picture, or I would say pictures, of Jesus Christ. But the great picture in Exodus chapter 12, you remember the children of Israel were down in Egypt. They were in bondage. They were in slavery. And God brought them out of bondage and out of slavery through the blood of a lamb. He said, you know what? I'm going to send the angel of death upon Egypt. But each of you, take a lamb, slay the lamb, put the lamb's blood on the lintel of your door and on the doorposts. And when the angel of death passes over, he will see the blood and he will pass over. And God delivered them out of bondage, out of slavery, delivered them from death. He redeemed them by the blood of the lamb. What a picture! It's a picture of Jesus Christ. He is our Passover. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He's our Passover. And he, when we place our faith in him, delivers us out of slavery and bondage to sin. Amen, Tank.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Ken.
Amen,
amen, congregation.
Amen.
Amen. He does. He delivers us out of the body. And he listen to this. He delivers us from death. We now, when we believe in him, he's the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in him, though he die, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in him shall never die. We will never be separated from God again. That's a picture. That's a picture of Jesus Christ. And then also, bring that back up, please. The tabernacle is a beautiful picture. Chapters 25 through 28, and I think chapters 38 through 40 in Exodus. God gave him this detailed tabernacle, this place where God's own presence would come and dwell in that tabernacle. And you know, that's a beautiful picture. If you study, that's a picture of Jesus. And in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. Jesus, God, would come and tabernacle with his people. And that's pictured in Exodus. In Genesis, we have the promise of Jesus. In Exodus, we have the pictures of Jesus. In Leviticus, we have the perfection of Jesus. Do you know what? Everyone, you read through Leviticus. Isn't Leviticus a wonderful book? Isn't that your favorite? You know what? It is good. You read through those sacrifices. Every one of the sacrifices had to be perfect. You couldn't have a blemished lamb. That would not do. You had to have a perfect sacrifice. And you know what? We needed a perfect sacrifice. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 5:18, don't think I came to abolish. He didn't come to abolish the law, Moses.
No,
he came to what?
Fulfill
the law. And Jesus did. He's the only one that ever lived that kept the law. Perfect. He's the perfect sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he knew no sin. 1 Peter 2, I think it's 22, says that there was no sin in him, nor was there guile in his mouth. And you know who said that? Peter. Peter lived with him for 3 years. You want to find out a person's sin? Live with them. I know some of you think I'm perfect. Don't talk to my wife. Don't talk to my kids. Because they've had to live with me, and they know occasionally, every day. You want to know a person, what they're like, live with them. Peter lived with them 3 years, said, there's no sin in them. And he wrote, knowing that you have been redeemed not with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile manner of life, which you inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless. The blood of Christ. He's the perfect sacrifice. You see that in Leviticus, the perfection of Jesus. Now in Numbers, you see the provision of Jesus. Take your Bibles, look at Numbers 21. What a story. Numbers chapter 21. And I want to begin reading in verse 4. This is so beautiful. Well, I don't know if I've been beautiful. I've been there, but what a story here. Numbers 21, 4. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient because of the journey. The people spoke out against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and we loathe this miserable food. We don't like this manna junk. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many of the people of Israel died. So the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord, and you intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us." And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live." And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on the standard. And it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked to the bronze serpent, he lived. I'll tell you what, you imagine serpents biting. I just talked to one of my cousins this Friday. We were in Pittsburgh at a funeral. Talked to her. She's an archaeologist. She recently, or not many years ago, went to Belize on a dig. And she said, "You know what, Les? There they have this snake. You got to be careful when you're out archaeologizing or whatever they do. You know, you got to be careful because they have these snakes there. They're called the two-step. Because if you're bit, you got two steps. And you're dead." I tell you, can you imagine? You know, they complained against God and against Moses. And God sent snakes. And when those snakes bit a person, I don't know how, I don't know if they had two steps, I don't know how long, but it filled them with poison. It said, "Cry out to God." Moses interceded for them, and he said, "Make a pole, a serpent, and put it on a pole, Moses. And lift it up. Lift it up. And if you are bit by a serpent, look and live. If you will believe and look and live, you'll not die." You see somebody saying, "Oh, I don't believe that. I'll just in. Oh, ouch, ouch. I don't believe that." They're dead. But if they believed what he said, and they looked, "I'm okay." John 3:15. "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What a picture. Can I see a picture? What a picture of the cross. Jesus on the cross, dying for our sins. And you know what? There's only one, listen to me, there's only one provision. He didn't say, "Let me give you several different things you can do, Moses." No, one provision. And there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ and through the cross. Amen. It's a picture of the cross. Amen. That's God's provision for your sin. If you reject that, you know what? You've already been bitten. You've already been bitten. You're full of poison. It's called sin. And if you die, you'll be separated from God forever. But all you got to do, look and live. It's not hard. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did for you on the cross, and you're saved. Saints, aren't you excited? If you look to Jesus, if you look to Christ, we have that forgiveness of sin, and we have everlasting life. And then in Deuteronomy, we have the peace of Jesus. And we see that in the city of refuge. You remember if a person unintentionally killed someone, they had to flee to the city of refuge before the avenger of death would catch them and they would be killed. But if they got to the city, they had refuge, they had peace, they had shelter, they had assurance of life. And just as they were to flee to the city of refuge, we need to flee to Christ.
Amen.
We need to flee to Christ to be saved. It's not enough to know what Jesus did. The old saying, some people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. They know it. And listen, this is not just for people that were way in sin and in drugs and all that kind of stuff. You can be a religious, good person and be lost. But I try to keep those laws. Doesn't save you. You got to flee to Christ to be saved. That's Jesus in the law. Genesis, the promise of Jesus. Exodus, the pictures of Jesus. Leviticus, the perfections of Jesus. In Numbers, the provision of Jesus. And in Deuteronomy, the peace of Jesus. And when we receive him, and that's what was shared today, he gives you that peace. Multiplies it to us, Steve. Multiplies the peace to us. But we need to flee to Christ. You see, folks, I'll tell you what. Here's what I want to end with. Actually, before you can come here, you got to go here. You got to go and see your need. You have to see. You know what? Every one of us has broken all those commandments. We're all sinners. And that law shows us how far short we fall. And it points us to Christ. Unless you see you're a sinner, you'll never come here. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit wants to show you today. The law points to Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, we thank you so much for the Word of God. That the Word of God points to your Jesus Christ. Thank you for the law, that it is holy, righteous, and good. It's your standard to show us how far short we fall. And that is the only solution, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I want to pray today, Lord, if there's ones here, little ones, teenagers, adults, that have never come to Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, convict, convince this morning. Grant faith to believe and grace to repent and be saved. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Touch us today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.